This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, tips for your tennis play from the best in the game, and a look at CCM's one-of-a-kind opera boot camp for young conductors and performers. Starting off this afternoon, the Western and Southern Open is the nation's oldest professional tennis tournament played in its city of origin. And this month, fans will once again be able to see some of the greatest players in tennis compete. Will Sykes, Director of Marketing and Communications for the Western and Southern Open, joins us for some history, a look at the players, and a preview of the concerts and other events for fans. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Well, good to see you this afternoon.
Hey, thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Now, the Open was first played, as I understand it, on land that's now part of Xavier University. Now, what was the exact site? What was that facility like in those early days?
So that facility was actually called the Avondale Athletic Club. You can go over there today and check it out. There's a plaque, but it's right by the Cintas Center, or what is today's Cintas Center, where they play basketball and hold events over at Xavier.
Were these grass courts, Will, or what were
they? They were grass courts. They were set down a little bit in a valley. We've got some great imagery. We love to take a look at what the apparel looked like back then in 1899 for tennis players. Quite different. You don't have as many of the neons as you do these days, but it was a great starting place for our event.
Was the apparel baggier back then?
I would say baggier, slightly more formal. The ladies wore the dresses down to the ankles, but I think the competition was still pretty
intense. Yeah. Still always attracted good players. Now, what are some of the milestones in the tournament's 116-year history?
Well, sure. I mean, there's many milestones. I think a lot of them are tied to the players that played here. So you have some of the greatest of greats. Arthur Ashe made his way here. Andre Agassi and Pete Sampras, and then some of the young guns in the 70s of the Connors and McEnroe. The event's been played in many places around Cincinnati. I think most people think of Mason when they think of the tournament, but Cincinnati Tennis Club down in Cincinnati, and then also the event played at Old Coney at one point before actually moving its way in 1980 up to across the street from Kings Island, now the Lindner Family Tennis Center.
Now, the key thing is it's always stayed basically in its city of origin, and that's its hallmark. It's the nation's oldest professional tennis tournament played in city of origin.
That's correct. And you know, one year, even as the tournament organizers tried to figure out a good way to get people there over the lunch hour, we moved it to the convention center downtown.
That's interesting. Now, you were talking about it's played today at the Lindner Family Tennis Center in Mason, and that facility has seen a lot of changes over the years, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. You know, unlike a lot of the other facilities across the country where they decided one day, let's build a tennis facility, the next year, big tennis facility. This was a very meticulous, slow growth, where it was started with one center court, stands on both sides. And since 1980, that facility has really come to be one of the finest in the country, if not the world. We have four permanent stadiums there, holding for anywhere from 12,000 people in center court down to 2,500 with one of the smaller courts. So it's really been a piecemeal construction over three decades that has turned it into a great facility for players and fans.
Now, how many fans does the tournament attract?
Last year, just under 200,000.
Wow, that many. That's great.
Coming from 50 states and 30 countries, this year we're actually pacing ahead of last year's attendance, which is fantastic. You know, we are really hitting capacity out there. Sold over 99% of our tickets last year. This year we have some grounds passes that are available as well, which is a very fun and economic way for people to enjoy the tennis. They can get onto the grounds, watch practice, watch most of the matches. They can only not enter center court, but the attendance has been phenomenal.
And it's been growing over the years. How's it compared to other tournaments around the country?
You know, we have the Indian Wells event, which is just a massive event. They have a lot more room and they have a lot more sessions than we do. But on a kind of pound for pound basis, if you look at day for day, this is as big as it gets, because, you know, we've got the parking lots are full and we can't sell any more tickets because we just don't have them.
Now, what kind of an economic impact does the Western and Southern have for this area?
Sure. Well, last time it was measured, was right under $63 million by the University of Cincinnati. And so it's a fantastic event here, you know, bringing in so many people from outside of the area. Also, what people don't realize is tennis being such an international sport, the television images that are sent out across the world to more than 65 million homes is a really, really a boon for Cincinnati in terms of what it looks like on the world stage.
Who'll be carrying this on TV?
Domestically here, it's ESPN throughout the week. And so people can find it on ESPN3 early in the week, ESPN2, you know, starting midweek and throughout. And then across the world, it's your Eurosports, it's Asia TV. It's pretty much everywhere. Everywhere you want to, you can be, all the way to, you know, New Zealand.
So this is some great exposure for the Cincinnati area.
Yeah, it absolutely is. You know, with Cincinnati right in our logo, Cincinnati on our back walls, it's picked up on television, so it's for everyone to see.
You know, what do the players think of the courts and the facilities? Is this a tournament they look forward to?
Oh, absolutely. In 2010, we finished construction on the Paul Fleury Player Center, which is a 52,000 square foot player center. So new locker rooms, fine dining facility, a player lounge. It's really a player's event. I think Paul Fleury's vision for decades was you treat the players well and the fans will come. And so that philosophy has been there since our inception.
Tell me about some of the players who are going to be taking part in this year's Western and Southern Open.
Well, I think right off the top, you have to start with Serena Williams and Roger Federer. Mm-hmm. Those are arguably two of the greatest players of all time. I mean, Roger Federer's won pretty much everything you can win in all of tennis. He's won here 6 times. And then Serena Williams really on a run like we've never seen before. This is the age of the mid-30s tennis player. It used to be the young teenagers. Well, you know, Roger and Serena are timeless. Serena actually embarking on a great Grand Slam season here. So she's won the first 3 legs of major events. And Cincinnati being a $7 million plus purse is really a place where all the players want to come because there's a great payday opportunity. There's great exposure. And so across the board, best men and best women, top 40 in the world on each side coming.
Well, what else is at stake for the players in the tournament?
Well, there's rankings points. And so being a Masters 1000 event, I don't want to get too into the weeds, but that's pretty much the biggest event on the men's side. And then a women's premier event means that, you know, a win here or a strong finish here can help them at the end of the year when they're looking at year-end championships and what their overall ranking looks like.
And a lot of the players are using this for fine-tuning, right? They're getting ready for the other tournaments that are coming up during the tennis season.
Well, we're positioned at a great place on the tennis calendar leading up to the U.S. Open. So we're in the same climate, same time zone, exact same courts as the U.S. Open. We have the coveted week in between our event and the U.S. Open so they can play our event, go for the big purse, and then take a little bit of a week off or play a smaller event afterward, and then really gear up for that last Grand Slam of the year.
So Serena Williams, Roger Federer, who are some of the other players we can look forward to seeing at this?
On the men's side, you know, you've got Novak Djokovic, great Serbian player. He's famous for his gluten-free diet. He's got a Gumby-like stretching out on the court. And so he'll be going actually to try attempting to be the first man ever to win all of the Masters events. He has yet to win Cincinnati. It's a great storyline on the men's side. And then some American players, John Isner, always a threat here, made a final a few years back. Then on the women's side, there's a lot of parity in the women's game. So you have Maria Sharapova, who is, you know, the starlet, the highest paid female athlete in the world, has won here in the past. And then you have some young up-and-comers, Madison Keys, who's an American player, obviously Venus Williams, Serena's sister. And so it's really stacked on either side. There's a lot of intrigue for the kind of wonky tennis fan, but also for somebody who just wants to come out and get familiar with some players who they've never seen before.
And we talk about this tournament drawing the top players. Any idea how many of them have been number ones during their playing career and how many Hall of Famers that this tournament draws?
Oh, well, we've had over 100 Hall of Famers come through Cincinnati here. So it's a fantastic field year in and year out. More than 10 number ones. It's tough because four men have really dominated the game for the better half of a decade or a decade and a half. And so you've got the Rafa Nadal, Roger Federer, Novak Djokovic, who we mentioned before, mm-hmm. and Andy Murray have been the big guns for almost 10 to 15 years, which is quite phenomenal.
Now, what's the schedule for the tournament, Will?
So August 15th, we kick off and open the gates to the public. 15th and the 16th, great first weekend. It's the qualifying rounds, which is an opportunity for fans to come out and see all 16 courts in action. You've got some big names that haven't made the cut, but they have to qualify in. And so they'll be playing on some of the outer field courts where a fan can walk right up for a very, very low-priced $5 kid, $10 adult ticket, and actually watch tennis. I mean, you can see the sweat coming off of the players there very close. And then once we hit Monday, late Sunday, Monday, we're into the main draw, and it runs all the way throughout that week into final Sunday.
Now, besides the tennis matches themselves, there are a lot of activities going on during the week of the Open. Tell us about those.
Yeah, you know, Mark, that's really what's grown so much over the past 5 to 6 years is the off-court. So we realize that not everyone in the world is a tennis fan, but Cincinnatians and people in this region love to go to big events. And so there's this flavor of music and food that we've injected into the facility of late that has really made this off-court action rival what's going on court. So we've got 14 of Cincinnati's, you know, most well-known restaurants. We've got some of the classics like your La Rosa's, your Montgomery Inn, some more haute cuisine like Palomino and Tony's Steakhouse. We have fusion sushi, Taste of Belgium, a little bit of everything, Skyline, and then, you know, to top it off, Grater's at the end, which everybody needs
course.
A little bit of Grater's ice cream. And then 35 bands throughout the week. We've got three different musical venues.
And just to wrap this up, tell us about the charitable mission the tournament has.
Yeah, absolutely. So for more than three decades, the tournament has been played to benefit a few of our charities, but one of them being Cincinnati Children's Hospital. So more than $8 million given to Cincinnati Children's Hospital. A lot of that we owe to the volunteer base because the labor that we receive from the volunteer base allows us to make a lot of that donation to Cincinnati Children's Hospital. And then the Barrett Cancer Center, a more recent beneficiary of the past decade, Tennis for City Youth. One really exciting thing very briefly this year is we're launching the Flory Fund, which is in remembrance of Paul and Carolyn Flory. And this was started by a $1 million gift from the Western Southern Financial Fund. And we're then asking our fans who come out this year to help match that. It goes to some of the most urgent needs of the Barrett Cancer Center, which is great. There's no restrictions on how they can be used. And so it's very exciting to talk about Flory Fund, and people can give and find out about that at floryfund.com.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, Mark.
Will Sykes is the Director of Marketing and Communications for the Western and Southern Open. Coming up, whether you are a player or a fan, advice from the best in the game of tennis. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.